Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, good Friday afternoon to you. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob Getty with you this afternoon. Kelly and Andrew, we think they'll both be back Monday and look forward to having those guys back in the studio. We got a good show for you today. We're going to be talking to Patrick McGee here momentarily, who, of course, is the sports editor of the Times-Picayune down in New Orleans. Scott Kirk is the local sports director for WDAM-TV. He's going to be on the show as well a little later. We're going to be talking football and some other things, all pertinent to Southern Miss. But first, we want to kick off the show by visiting with our good buddy Patrick McGee down in New Orleans. Patrick, I stumbled upon it last night almost accidentally. Well, actually, all accidentally. And much to my amazement, there was an NFL football game taking place between the Chargers and the Lions, and I realized that football had started. It just doesn't seem possible yet, does it, Patrick? It's 100 degrees outside.
No, the Hall of Fame game always kind of, like, surprises you, even if you know it's coming. It's always, and it's clear a lot of those guys shouldn't be playing games yet in the Hall of Fame game. They need another week or two of practice. But they put them out there for a TV product, and I purposely kind of ignore it because there's just not a lot to learn. Cause most of those guys are playing through the game, aren't even going to touch field this season. But yeah, football is here.
Yeah, well, yeah, all the starters were in street clothes, and I would think a lot of the guys playing may not even be on the roster when the season starts. Right. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, especially in the second half, those guys out there are just fighting for practice squad spots.
Right. All right, well, let's turn our attention to the Saints. It's time to start focusing on football, and, of course, we always want to cover the New Orleans Saints. What if there was one big story coming out of the Saints camp right now, Patrick, what would that be?
Well, I mean, I think it's, you know, you had Tyrann Mathieu retire right before camp started, and not long ago, really, Derek Carr retired. So, it's still an older team, but you take some guys out of the picture, and the team's not quite as old anymore. Less experienced, but you know it's a team that is still. It feels like it's Kellen Moore's first season as a head coach. However he molds it, however he wants it to be, that's what we're going to see. But are the pieces there? It's still hard to see that right now. But in terms of news out of camp right now, no. It's the main discussion is hey, you know who steps up to safety behind Mathieu. Thankfully they have decent safety, decent depth there. But overall, you kind of know who the key players are on this team. It's just a matter of how these first and second year guys, you know, can they hit the field running or make a leap in year number two.
All right, so the Saints used a big draft choice to get a quarterback. They had a quarterback still on the roster, I think, from Oklahoma a couple of years ago. Do we know who's going to QB the Saints, or is that an open competition, you think?
It's still an open competition. But I think most observers right now would say that Spencer Rattler, the former South Carolina quarterback, would probably get the start if they made a decision right now, but they're not. They've still got a bit. You know, they haven't even played the preseason game yet, so there's much to be decided. Tyler Shuck is still a rookie, kind of feeling his way through on some things, shown some glimpses, got some work with the first team. Jake Haener has also had some work with the first team, but I don't. You know, they're trying to portray it as if it's a three guy competition. But I think everybody pretty much knows it's between Rattler and Shuck. Haener's just somebody they haven't really invested a ton in, while Rattler and Shuck, they feel like those are the two guys that have the most potential as starting quarterbacks.
Patrick, can you win with either of those two guys quarterbacking?
No, I mean, well, they didn't last year, but Rattler was often playing with an offense that was maybe half the starters were out with injury. I mean, he never really played with a healthy offense all season. So it would be interesting to see Rattler out there with, say, Shaheed and Olave, Kamara, you know, an offensive line that's intact. Yeah, I mean, I think they can win some games. Yeah, I mean, the division's, you know, okay. I think it's better than what we kind of expected going into last year. I thought they were going to be awful. This year, I think they're going to be fairly, you know, Atlanta, Tampa are both going to be good teams. Carolina should be improved. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think the Saints right now, everybody expects them to be kind of number three or number four in the pecking order. But they're going to have a shot, especially when you consider if you have Olave and Shaheed out there and Kamara on the field. As long as they produce around whoever is the starting quarterback, the Saints are going to be able to move the ball a bit and score. Defensively, they'll be okay. I don't expect them to be great, but I think they're going to be an okay group.
Will the defense be good enough to overcome an inexperienced quarterback if that ugly monster does rear its head?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they're still kind of old, you know, whether it's Cam Jordan or DeMario Davis. Those are guys that are not the you know, the prime of their careers. They're kind of on the other side, obviously. So they play really important positions. You know, it'll be interesting. You know, they have some younger guys on the end, on the defensive line, and at linebacker. Maybe some younger guys were kind of factoring a little bit more this year. But right now I would say no. I think the defense is going to be okay. But, no, I mean, if a quarterback goes out there and throws a couple of interceptions, say Rattler or Shuck, that's going to be tough to overcome.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, how far is New Orleans from getting back to being the playoff team that I think it's fair to say that people began to get used to? I mean, the Saints, you know, for quite a number of years, in recent years, were one of the more competitive teams in the league. It dropped off, obviously, the last couple, I think, really since Drew Brees retired and Peyton left. But how far away are they from getting back to that level?
Well, I mean, I think we're probably 2 years away. Now, I will say Kellen Moore, as an offensive coordinator, has shown a knack for really kind of getting the most out of his guys. You know, mm-hmm. You saw what happened last year in Philadelphia. I mean, that offense was at its absolute best, and he knew exactly what to do with them. So if he proves to be that kind of offensive genius, maybe he can speed this up a little bit. But they're probably 2 years away from really kind of putting a team on the field that can consistently compete for playoff bids, you know, over a three- or four-year run, something like that. They still have to build this team. It's in a slow rebuild mode, it feels like, but I think they've made progress in that direction just through the draft, and we'll see. I think we're 2 years away from this team maybe being a 9-10-win season.
Are the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs still the two teams that somebody's going to have to prove they can knock off their purchase?
Well, I don't really have a great answer for you, but as good as the Eagles look in the playoffs and the Super Bowl, it's kind of hard not to see them mm-hmm. as the prohibitive favorite. You know, I think they really kind of surpassed the Chiefs a year ago. The Chiefs are starting to get old in certain positions, but they're a team that the Chiefs have consistently reload at really important positions every year. It seems they always just get steals in the draft and through free agency. So I'm never going to rule them out. Supposedly they've already found their left tackle for the next decade mm-hmm. just through the draft, and it was a late pick. So they just kind of keep coming up with flowers every season, it seems like, in Kansas City. So they're going to be a good team. But, Philly's so good.
Yeah, Philadelphia does seem to be the premier team in the league. I guess the other NFC team that people thought last year might be in the Super Bowl actually played last night, but you can't tell anything from a game mm-hmm. like that. The Lions didn't play any of their starters, but they have to figure to be a real competitive team for the NFC side as well, right?
Yeah, they'll be right. You know, you would expect them, the Eagles and the Lions, probably your favorites to get to the NFC title game. I think the Lions are going to be consistently good for a while. They've really built something special there. Whether they're going to be able to get over the hump and win a Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years remains to be seen, but they're a good team. You know, they've built it the right way there.
I'll tell you another team I think is kind of a dark horse is the other team playing last night, the Chargers. I mean, they've got a big, tough quarterback and, a proven coach. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Chargers make some noise this year. Your thoughts?
No, I mean, year number two is Harbaugh's head coach. He's got a really good – he's always had a really nice formula as a head football coach and as a pro football coach. just that power brand of ball. And you already have the quarterback in place in Herbert. Mm-hmm. So the Chargers, no doubt, yeah, they're going to be a team that's going to be a good squad in the AFC.
All right, 1 minute left. In the Saints division, the favorite to win it all is?
Tampa, until somebody knocks them off. I think Tampa's the team.
Yeah, they just re-signed their quarterback to a big hunk of money, did they not?
Yeah, well, honestly, I don't know, but
yeah, I think.
Yeah, I mean, as long as Mayfield's behind center, he's the best quarterback in the division.
Yeah, no question. And I guess enthusiasm will begin to build, and it really doesn't matter what last year was like. People in New Orleans and throughout Louisiana, and I think South Mississippi too, so passionate about New Orleans. There'll be big raunchy crowds, won't there?
Yeah, early in the season, but if they're starting off, you know, 0-3, 0-4, those crowds are probably going to thin out a little bit. I think everybody's just kind of in a wait-and-see mode just because they've been kind of disappointing the last 3 or 4 years. So, I mean, I think they want to have something to cheer for, but they're just not confident they're going to have it.
All right, Patrick, we're going to depend on you all year long to keep us up to speed on the Saints because we know they have lots and lots of fans here in South Mississippi, and look forward to getting with you every Friday, okay, my friend?
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Patrick McGee, everybody. I'm happy to say the sports editor of the Times-Picayune, and I knew him when he worked right here in Hattiesburg. Patrick was on this show the first week 10 years ago. This show came on, and he's been a regular guest, if not every week, almost every week since. I'll tell you another one we like having on the show is Scott Kirk out at WDAM-TV, sports director out there. He's next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, I want to thank our buddy Patrick McGee down at the New Orleans Times-Picayune for joining us in that first segment. That was sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, which is a great place, of course, to take your family this weekend for a wonderful meal or to cater your next event. Football just around the corner, Dickie's would be the perfect place to call to cater any tailgates that you might be involved in. We encourage you to do so. I want to thank our friends at Southern Bank Corp for sponsoring our studio broadcast here in Oak Grove each and every day. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have a place to do the show from, and we're very grateful to our good buddies at Southern Bank Corp for their sponsorship of our studio. And we're grateful to everybody that tunes into our podcast, and thousands of you do every month, and we're very grateful for that. You can find it on YouTube, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, Audible, Apple, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, Scott Kirk is the sports director at WDAM-TV here in Hattiesburg, Channel 7. Scott, it occurred to me as I was getting ready to bring you on the show, I have some what could be very ominous news for you about your future. It occurred to me that in another lifetime, I had your job at Channel 7. Kelly Center right. replaced me at Channel 7. Mitchell Williams replaced Kelly, and all three of us now work here at Super Talk as we grew older and developed faces for radio. I don't want to discourage you or frighten you, but you could be looking at your future 20 years down the road, Scott.
It's a fair point. That's why I invest so much at Target when I buy moisturizer. Got to keep the pretty face on there. So, you know, we'll see what happens to Taylor Curette, who's now in Louisiana. You know, maybe he comes back one day and then takes over the Eagle Hour reins. But still got a little bit of time to fill those shoes, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about it anytime soon. All right, Scott, I always really do enjoy talking to you, and I'm glad you and I met, and I want you to come on the show as much as you can. I want to talk to you about football. I know you were at practice yesterday. I want you to kind of just give me your interpretation of the vibe and just, first of all, your general observation of what you saw under this new coaching regime.
Totally. So my first impression is I think the team knows, you know, what they have to do this season. Getting to practice started around the 5 o'clock time window, so I like to get there a little bit early, and the first thing I noticed is that it was a little quiet out there, and I don't think that was a bad thing necessarily. I think it was quiet because they knew that they had a job to do, and I think they're still building chemistry, so probably as the season goes on, maybe you'll hear a little bit more chatter, but I don't think the silence was necessarily a bad thing. Guys were pretty locked in, and that was kind of a difference, you know, from this practice compared to years past with the previous regime. I also kind of noticed that they were, I mean, because I'm at practice to grab video of the players, trying to observe, okay, who's doing what drill, who's getting what reps where, and I kind of noticed that they're, I don't want to say dilly-dally, but they were kind of just keeping to themselves, not doing too much. They didn't start their stretching period till we had to leave at 5:20. So it makes me kind of think and wonder, almost a little selfishly, if they're just kind of waiting to start their actual routine when everybody leaves. I don't think they want to give away their flavors yet. And I think, you know, when this fall camp continues, that might stop a little bit. When the season rolls on, that might stop a little bit. It might be a thing where they just want to roll on and practice, and they won't worry about who's watching, and they won't care at a certain point. But I think now, mm-hmm. every player is trying to make such an impression that they're really trying to keep themselves, and they don't want any outside noise. That's kind of what I observed yesterday. Yep. They really just wanted to wait till everybody was gone to do their thing.
So what are they doing while the media is actually there?
It was very basic stuff. The quarterbacks were just playing toss with each other. They would do a little bit of organized drills, but nothing too heavy. Defensive linemen were doing their just, you know, regular footwork drills. Special teams are doing their thing, but we're not allowed to film those, of course, because of special teams. Offensive linemen were kind of in their footwork routines. But normally the team does their whole stretching organized activity together around the 5 o'clock, 5:15 window, and they didn't start that till we left. And that was, I don't want to say it was strange, because I've only covered one regime before this one, and that was the Will Hall era, so I don't know what other schools look like, but talking to other people, this is kind of a normal thing in college football. This is kind of how a lot of the teams are operated on the Power Four level. And like I said, I think as the season rolls on, they won't be as uptight.
Yeah. All right, obviously, there's a big difference between being a sports director at a TV station and being a sports talk show host like I and Kelly are. So from a reporter's standpoint, what you just described to me, does that make your job difficult, Scott?
It definitely makes it a little bit difficult, and that's why I have to really, like, use my ears whenever I'm talking to Coach Huff or I hear a player talk at the podium. I have to really listen and talk about what they're saying. Like, the biggest thing this week on Tuesday when they did their opening media conference for fall camp, Charles Huff kept circling back to the team's physicality, 25% uptick in body mass index, talking about the off-season strength programs with Ben Ashford. He just kept circling back to that. It seemed to me that Charles Huff kind of had a plan of what he wanted to focus on Tuesday, and that was what he was focusing on. Anderson and Jason Seymour were a little bit more open, but that's why I'm asking these guys questions like, okay, who should we expect big fall camps out of? And I'm just trying to gather what little information I can and really let, you know, Coach Huff and his coordinators tell the story for me, because I can't really do that myself anymore. For right now, at least, until we see some games on the field. So really, just have to keep an open ear for any little thing I hear.
Yeah. Well, some of us are familiar with Blake Anderson because he's been here before. I don't think many of us are familiar with Coach Huff. Obviously, he obviously came here from Marshall. What are your early impressions from the standpoint of a sports director that's going to be covering the football team? What are your early impressions of Coach, and have you been able to determine what do you think his overall philosophy is going to be?
I think Charles Huff is all business. I think he said it when he first arrived in Hattiesburg. He did not come here to play. And I think, in a certain sense, Southern Miss football needs that. They need someone to just totally flip things around, because what's been happening for the last, decade or so really hadn't worked. So he's all business, and he's very much to himself. He has a certain approach, and I just think that he doesn't want to give too much away right now.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me thinks it's because there's a lot of excitement this season, and obviously it's very warranted, but maybe he wants to control that excitement just a little bit. Like, I think Coach Christian Ostrander says it best sometimes, cautiously optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like Huff has that certain approach, which is why he might be keeping his mouth shut. And I'll tell you this. I did ask Coach Huff on Tuesday, what kind of, like, wow moments have you seen so far from your new transfers? Who has impressed you so far? And he did tell me, I've seen a lot of them, but if I tell you some names, they'll go out there tomorrow at practice and tick me off. So I'm just going to keep that to myself right now. So I think cautiously optimistic is probably a good term I'd use.
Okay, it's no secret that the vast, vast majority of the roster is made up of new players that were not here last year, coming in from a variety of schools, with a big clump of them coming from Marshall. I want you to think back to the practices you saw last year and what you saw yesterday, and tell me if you see, and if you do see this, the physical difference in the appearance of the football team.
It's night and day. These guys yesterday, Monday, even during spring, they looked like beasts. They looked huge. And I don't remember seeing anything like that before. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys were, I don't want to say undersized, but when you compare this team to last year's team, they do look undersized. And it just, it makes you think, like, I don't know what was going on before. Maybe they were recruiting a different kind of athlete, or they wanted their bodies in a different kind of shape for a different kind of system. But I mean, the defensive linemen looked ginormous. Specifically, number 7, his name's Isaiah Gibson, coming off an injury.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a behemoth. Like, he could be a pro wrestler, that kind of body type. If you look at a picture of Chris Jones last year and a picture of Chris Jones this year, it looks like they've been injecting him. I'm not saying they have. I'm just saying that's how insane the change has been. Even Braylon Braxton lost some weight from March.
Right, and you're not saying that. Let's clarify that. You're not saying that they're doing anything. These are just
I'm making a joke, guys.
Yeah, yeah, I know. These are just big kids, right? I mean, let's just be honest.
Very
they
big.
Went out and got some big guys to bring in here.
Oh yes, and I think it just kind of explains, the philosophy of the strength coach Ben Ashford. If you look at him, he's a ginormous guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you'd want your strength coach to be ginormous. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is a single flub on that man. It is just all pure muscle, flexing 24/7, and it makes sense.
Good. All right, Scott, can you stick around another segment?
Oh, of course.
Scott Kirk is the sports director at WDAM-TV. Got a close eye on Southern Miss football, all Southern Miss athletics. Going to continue our conversation with Scott. As we head into the break, don't forget about MCS Home Center. They're out in Bellevue, 7329 US 98 in Hattiesburg. Great home improvement store, home improvement, home construction, lawn and garden care. We will be there the Thursday before the opening of football season, and we understand with Braylon Braxton, quarterback at Southern Miss. We're looking forward to that. Also looking forward to continue our conversation with Scott Kirk on the other side of the break.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back to the Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. It's been another fun week. We really appreciate you being with us all through the week. This segment is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, and that'd be a great place to go on Friday night, get a shrimp po' boy and maybe a cold beer or cold iced tea, whatever you prefer. Catch a ball game on the TV and enjoy the camaraderie and all the great memorabilia that you'll find at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Really one of our favorite places in Hattiesburg, as is Mo Bay Beignet Company, and that's where you go to get a great dessert. That sounds like maybe a plan tonight. 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. They'll make the beignets as you order them, and you get great coffees and drinks, and just a great place to hang out for a little while. Scott Kirk. Now, Scott Kirk is from Miami, so you probably don't know much about beignets when you move down here. Is that fair to say, Scott?
Very much. I had to Google what they were before I tried one.
All right, and your thoughts after you tried one?
Pretty good. I hope that like the Cajun people or some people don't get upset. Like it's basically like a fried donut, is it not? Like
correct, kinda, yeah.
Yeah,
kinda.
This is kind of what I compared it to. It was pretty good.
All right,
Mo Bay is excellent though.
So if you're in Miami, what is a really popular go to dessert down in Miami, Florida?
Flan. That's a pretty go to popular one. It's a Hispanic. I can't even compare it to cake, but it's very good. It's a very good Hispanic dessert. Mm-hmm. If you want a Cuban pastry that's sweet, you can get yourself a pastelito with the guava and cream cheese on there.
Mm-hmm. That all sounds good. And what about key lime pie? Surely you're a key lime pie.
Oh, love key lime pie. I can go to the grocery store and just get it right there that day. It's just very good.
God, you make me want to go to the beach, Scott. I mean, it's such a great
I miss
place.
It too.
All right, let's get back to the subject here for just a minute, and I don't want to beat this to death, but I do want to get your observations since you were there yesterday. This football team, from everything you described to me, everything I've been reading and researching, it does appear to be night and day from what we've seen over the past 3 to 4 years. Is that a fair assessment?
Totally. As of right now, things look different, and that's what it's supposed to feel like. It's supposed to feel different. USM needed a shakeup. I think obviously we'll see as the season progresses how this team handles adversity. Some of these guys are still getting to know each other, but yes, it's very much different, and that change is good. I think sometimes we forget Charles Huff said when he first got here, like certain traditions will be challenged, and we have to get used to those things being challenged. And it might be uncomfortable at first, but we're going to settle into it. And that's just what it takes sometimes. If everybody's bought into something community-wise as well, his process could work. He said it himself, Charles Huff. This is application, not theory. So mm-hmm. I guess we got to let the man go to work.
You brought up an interesting point to me off air too that really I have not observed, and that is that this team is full of kids from other schools that have transferred in here. This is going to be kind of an old team. There are going to be a lot of upperclassmen that have come here from other universities. Fair?
Yeah, I really think so. And if you look, it's a lot of guys that have playing experience. Let's just take the Marshall crew, right? That's like the most popular bunch. Look at Braylon Braxton, Josh Moten, wide receiver Chuck Montgomery, even a guy like Carl Chester, Matt Jones, the Ole Miss transfer running back. They're all seniors. So they have been around college football. Isaiah Gibson on the defensive line, he's a senior as well. So these are guys who have seen a lot of things that have been thrown at them. They have experience with noise, adversity. These are not guys that you have to teach much new things to. I guess they have to learn some scheme things and chemistry things, but they know how to play a college football game. Like mm-hmm. they have that experience, which I think is a really good piece for USM. Last couple of years, we've seen a lot of young guys with the Will Hall regime trying to step up and do more. John White getting thrown in the fire last year as a freshman. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be a thing this year. Even the backup quarterbacks have some college football experience. Another guy that comes to mind, a USM returner, Bradarius Lewis. Mm-hmm. He has a year of experience. Avery mm-hmm. Sledge. So they've been in the moment before, and I think that is a positive thing to focus on.
Well, and look, let me preface my next question by saying everybody wants them to start winning. I mean, they need to start winning soon. Do you think that the age of many of the kids now coming onto the roster, is that just coincidence, or is that a signal that that Coach Huff has come here to win now, not necessarily to put together a four-year building program, but to win football games starting this fall?
Oh, I think that was definitely the message, because I feel like if Southern Miss doesn't start winning, why would players want to come here, right? Mm-hmm. Coach Huff put a defensive lineman in the NFL last year, or I guess this past draft, Mike Green. That's an example of what he can do for a guy's career. He was a power forward transfer, goes to Marshall, and then found success. And I think that's kind of what, you know, one of the small selling points for some of these older players coming in. Because if Charles Huff is successful in year one, a lot of these other guys trying to find an opportunity are going to find USM more attractive. So I think that was totally the message behind that.
Here's another interesting thing I want to ask you about. So Braylon Braxton obviously is going to be the starting quarterback. Southern Miss added a couple of more kids, a couple of more quarterbacks, I believe one from Boston College and one from UAB. And then there's John White, who was a highly recruited big star in high school. Where do you think John White fits into this picture? There was some concern that he would leave when Braylon Braxton came, but he didn't. He stayed here to his credit. Where do you think he fits in the big picture?
Totally. I don't know what Coach Huff's thoughts on him are, but Blake Anderson did talk about John White during the opening press conference to fall camp on Tuesday. And I think for John White, this might be a year of just a little bit of a mental reset. Study a playbook, learn behind Braylon Braxton. And I think the competition might be good for him. I don't even think there were this many serious guys in the quarterback room last year. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be good for a guy like John. I think Blake Anderson kind of knows what he has there. He saw his development, and Blake Anderson said that John White has handled this whole change with a lot of class. He had told John during the spring, hey, we're going to bring some quarterbacks to create some competition in the room, elevate the room. John put his head down, nodded, and said, okay, let's get to work. After spring is done, Coach Anderson and the staff went to John again and the rest of the quarterbacks, hey, we're going to bring in some more guys for more competition, okay? He nodded his head. He went to work. I think he's acknowledging that this might be a learning opportunity for him. I think they'd like him to stay. I don't think they'd like any of their players to leave. I think the more the better, right? Mm-hmm. But I think for him, it's about learning and developing and trying to take a step back. Because I think last year was a lot for everybody, him being included, because when he got thrown in there against Jacksonville State, I mean, at that point, it was basically like, you know, being in Vegas and you just put your mortgage up for sale, right? Please save us, John White. And that's a lot to ask out of him. So,
yeah. Well, he has an opportunity, obviously, to maybe start when Braxton leaves. But where would you project that he will end up on the depth chart when that's finally released?
I think the biggest question is to talk about a brand new freshman this year, Denzel Gardner. That was a kid that was committed to Marshall last season, and then he followed Coach Huff to Southern Miss. He's a guy up from the Northeast, Ohio, I believe, three-star quarterback. I don't know if they plan to redshirt him or not, but I would put John White in that three or four category, and I think it depends on what the staff thinks of this Denzel Gardner kid. So I think Landry Liddy has a fair chance to be your backup. At the spring game, he was the guy that got the most reps after Braylon Braxton. And I didn't think he played bad at all. Scored a couple touchdowns, made some good throws. McCormick was on the other side, but he's been here at USM for a couple years. Mm. But I think the biggest question is what you see out of Denzel Gardner, which I haven't seen much out of. But that was just kind of the interesting thing I thought about.
Well, very interesting. All right, so you say the team is much bigger physically. They're going to have a big physical team coming here to start the season. It doesn't matter where you finish in the SEC. SEC football is different than basketball or baseball. It's a physical sport, obviously. So State will be big and strong. How would you think right now the Golden Eagles will be able to match up against an SEC opponent?
Well, I think right now they're very physical, so I think it's going to be about their mental toughness as well. I feel like this game is going to come down to little things, whether it's like a blocked field goal on special teams or something like that. They have to catch Mississippi State when they least expect it. But I think physically right now, they're at a pretty good point. I think they're at the best they can be as of now. One thing that stood out to me as well, defensive coordinator Jason Seymour really, really preached his defensive line. He liked the way that they were operating, and if they can attack Mississippi State on that front, that might be a plus. They're going to have Blake Shapen coming back off an injury. If you rattle him a little bit, make him uncomfortable, put some pressure on him to where he can't get comfortable after rebounding from an injury, that might be a plus for them.
Going to be exciting, is it not?
Oh, it's going to be totally fun. I know it's going to be 11 a.m. I'll be roasting, but when you have ESPN in the house, that's an opportunity for the university to help them maybe even come back. We've seen the Sun Belt, you know, over the last couple of years host a college game day. Mm-hmm. JMU had one. I can't remember who else. I think App State had one as well.
Right.
And I think for Southern Miss, if you make an impression, why can't you have a game day on the campus, right? I know that's forward thinking, but that's how I would use the opportunity.
Well, that would be
try
fun.
To impress ESPN.
There you go. Scott, it's always a great pleasure, man, talking to you. Great conversation, and I'll look forward to having you back on the show very soon.
I appreciate it, Bob. Thank you.
All right. Scott Kirk, everybody, who does a great job as a sports director out at WDAM-TV. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty in the Southern Bank Corp studio here in Hattiesburg. And my thanks to our longtime friend Patrick McGee down in New Orleans, and to Scott Kirk, who we just find a delightful young man to bring on the show, and a young guy that really does a great job covering Southern Miss sports for WDAM-TV. So we appreciate Scott, and, of course, always appreciate Patrick for coming on the radio program. All right, don't forget about all – man, we have so many great sponsors. 4th Street Bar and Grill, as we mentioned, sponsoring the third segment of the show every day, and a great place to go. Enjoy a good meal tonight, some delicious poor boy sandwiches down there, and they guarantee you there will be some Major League Baseball game on the TV. If you want to train, if you want to be better at golf, tennis, whatever your sport is, we suggest you call our friends at DBAT on Hardy Street. Although it is primarily a baseball and softball training facility, they do have trainers that can help adult athletes become the best at whatever sport. They can teach you about stretching and exercise and areas of your body to improve physically if you want to be better in the sport of your choice. So we suggest you call Luke Reynolds. He's the manager down at DBAT. They're on Hardy Street. If you've not been inside of it, it's worth going to see, because it is truly a beautiful facility with batting cages and all sorts of activity. A great pro shop as well. So check out our friends at DBAT and let them help you become the very best you could be. Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. We invite you to join or check out their new showroom, Highway 98 West, in Hattiesburg. We think that you'll find it is a beautiful facility, and Genesis cars, of course, are as fine as there is on the road. We will be down there, and I believe that will be the third week of the season, the Friday before the Appalachian State game. We will be broadcasting the show from Genesis of Hattiesburg. The Friday before the opening game, we'll be at 4th Street Bar and Grill. The Friday before the Jackson State game, we will be at Century First Federal Credit Union on Hardy Street, and then, as I said before, the App State game, we'll be down there with our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg. You know, back to a couple of things real quickly that Scott mentioned, and I thought it was most interesting when he talked about some of the age of the players that have come in here. And this was released by the university yesterday, and they were talking about the offensive line room. And I'll read this. The rest of the room has no shortage of experience, as seven upperclassmen have joined the Golden Eagles with playing experience at other four-year universities. And that includes a group of a graduate transfer, Cooper Frazier, who came here from Samford, redshirt junior Carlos Slayton, who transferred from Troy, redshirt senior Broderick Roman from Eastern Michigan, redshirt junior Christian Anderson from Alabama A&M, redshirt senior Aaron Parks from South Carolina, redshirt junior Hayes Creel from McNeese State, and redshirt senior Jazz Janavier from Eastern Michigan. The rest of the room includes R.J. Whitehead, Camden Myers, Jamar Davis, Hayden Brill, Chase Malamia, and Liam Cassidy. So a lot of older, experienced offensive linemen joining the Golden Eagles. And I think all of these are just indications of what I was talking to Scott about, and that is that Charles Huff came here to win now. He doesn't look like to me that the kids he brought in are players that he's trying to develop two or three years down the road. It looks like to me they're players that he thinks can come win now. And, look, I don't think anybody would argue with that. I think everybody in the community is hungry for a winning football team again, and a lot of hopes that this staff has put together a roster that will provide that for us. So who's going to have the toughest and who's going to have the easiest schedules this year? Well, according to College Football News, the five toughest Division I schedules in the country will be number one, Arkansas, number two, UCLA, number three, Florida, number four, Wisconsin, and number five, Mississippi State. Interesting. Mississippi State, according to College Football News, with the fifth toughest schedule of the country. All right, who has the five easiest schedules? All right. Let's start five from the bottom. New Mexico State, the fifth easiest schedule in the country. Buffalo, the fourth easiest. Toledo, the third easiest. Liberty, the second easiest. And Middle Tennessee, we're familiar with them, according to College Football News, with the easiest schedule in the country. All right, 135 schools picked or analyzed. According to College Football News, Southern Miss, with the 129th toughest schedule out of 135. I don't know what you think about that, but with a schedule that maybe the Golden Eagles can be competitive in, a lot of older, new players on the roster, a really good quarterback, a proven head coach, a proven offensive coordinator in Blake Anderson, and a proven head coach in himself, there is reason to be optimistic. And we're optimistic here, and we join all of you that listen to the show every day and hoping that 2025 is a turnaround year for Southern Miss football. All right, great show today. Really appreciate our guests. Have fun with you all week. Kelly and Andrew will be back in the studio Monday. I thank you very much for listening each and every day. Southern Miss to the top.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at trustcarehealth.com/plus.
A Supertalk Mississippi Media Production.